I know its length, you know its length, but let's start with a secular beginning. If you're in touch with the secular media at all, you know that today is International Women's Day. Did you know that? International Women's Day. And since about half the people in the world are women, you think this would be a big day. And since the church is arguably the institution that has done more for women than any other, you think this would be a big deal in the church. But it's not. And part of that is that International Women's Day is a mixture of good and bad and good and evil, you could say. Of course, when it has to do with honoring the dignity of women, promoting their rights, promoting their equality, promoting their opportunities, the church is 100% behind it. But when International Women's Day becomes an occasion for promoting abortion or for clamoring for changes in the definition of woman, in fact, it's kind of a disputed question, what is a woman at all? Then the church says, well, we can't stand up for that. Not only that, it's a little bit difficult because it's as if on International Women's Day, men aren't allowed to say anything. Only women can talk. So I'm not supposed to even mention it. If you see these media presentations and panels of experts, all women. Well, so it's a mixture. It's something like the church's approach to feminism, right? Feminism, in its positive sense, is part of the gospel. But feminism, in its exaggerated sense and sometimes very distorted sense, goes against the gospel. So how can it's hard to use that word without taking both sides of that into your hand. So it's like reaching into a grab bag. You don't know if there's valuable things in there or there's terrible things in there. You don't know what you're going to get when you pull up your hand. There was and then, just one last thought about this. One thing that will hardly ever be mentioned on International Women's Day is motherhood. Because if you mention motherhood, then you're accused of oppressing women and enslaving them to their biology, etc. Which it doesn't make any sense at all, because most women, especially mothers, find that to be one of the most fulfilling aspects of their whole life. And most women want to be able to spend time raising and nurturing their own children. They don't want to have to go to work in order to survive and pay someone else to care for their children. So it's a very strange, we live in a strange world. One of the things that came up recently, and maybe this is still being debated, although I haven't heard about it lately, I think it was last year, there was a concern that you can't use the word mother anymore because you might be excluding women who identify as men who give birth. So you have to use the word birthing people. So, of course, a lot of mothers protested, what do you mean you can't call us mothers? So birthing people, okay. Now, I'm just saying that that's the secular topic of conversation today. But when we turn to the scriptures, we find again, and this is true every day in Lent, very profound lessons about how to live, about God and how he sees us and about how he wants us to reach a fulfilling and happy life here and especially in eternal life. So we have in the first reading a very tender call to repentance, and we have in the gospel the greatest two commandments, which are both commandments of love. Doesn't say anything about men and women here that I can see. It looks like in the first reading, everybody is a sinner and everybody's called to repentance. Maybe in some circles, people think that men are worse sinners than women. Kind of a popular opinion. And if you look at prisons, or any statistics on violent crime, yes, there are a lot more men in prisons than there are women. That's because women don't do violent crimes as often. That's just, we'll talk about the differences between men and women. But anyway, it's not true to say that men are the sinners and women are not. Everybody is a sinner, and if we don't acknowledge that, we can't gain the benefit of Lent. And what is God's approach to sinners, men and women? He says, return. Return to the Lord your God. You have collapsed through your guilt. Take with you words and return to the Lord. And what do you say to the Lord? Forgive. Forgive. Have mercy. That's how the Lord sees us. He sees us as sinners, but not sinners to be condemned, sinners to be saved. Which is good news that far outweighs any of the secular agendas that I mentioned a moment ago. Then we turn to Jesus answering the question of a scribe, which is the first of all the commandments. We had the Ten Commandments for the first reading on Sunday, remember? And this week has been a reminder to us of the greatness of the commandments, the greatness of the law of God revealed to us for our benefit. But the question asked is, which is the first of all the great commandments, of all the great guides to life, of all the ways God establishes for us to live rightly, which is the most important? And Jesus immediately answers with the answer that all the Jews already knew. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. So what's the most important thing in life? What's the highest priority? It's not fighting human trafficking, as important as that is. It's not stopping exploitation. It's not clamoring for rights. Those are all important. But the most important thing of all is love of God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. How can God command us to love? Commands sometimes strike us as being imposed. An unpleasant requirement is what we think of as a command. Now, you have to do this. But the commandments of love, they're still commandments. And they are imposed in a sense, but not simply oppressively from above. In fact, because we're created by God who is love, and we're created in the likeness of God who is love, love is rooted in our very being. It's planted in our heart. If sin were not part of the picture, we would already do this automatically. We would love God with our whole heart. There'd be no obstacle, and we wouldn't feel any oppression or any requirement. We would want to fulfill this commandment perfectly all the time. That's how people in heaven see things, right? You ask someone in heaven, what do you think of the commandments? You don't have to command me to love God. I already do, and I'll be happy to love him with my whole being forever. That will be a delight for me. So that's the first commandment. And then Jesus adds the necessary corollary, the inseparable second commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this is part of the genius of Christianity. That love of God, which is absolutely the top priority in religion, and other religions would say something like this, is always connected to love of neighbor. Men and women, all neighbors. That the good of the other person is an inseparable part of our respect for God, because God loves them. So whenever we see in the world the divisions, the rejections, the prejudices, the injustices, we say that's a violation of love of neighbor, and we can't stand for that. We do fight against any violation of love of neighbor. And whenever we find in ourselves, as we do during Lent, temptations not to love our neighbor, temptations to harden our hearts, to close the door, then we say, wait, that is a violation of the second great commandment. The scribe who hears these two commandments affirms, this is more valuable. This wisdom of love of God, love of neighbor is worth more than any burnt offering or sacrifice, more than any gesture of emptying ourselves. This is genuine emptying of ourselves in love. It doesn't mean that sacrifices are not valuable. Yes, today is a day of sacrifice, right? The day of abstinence from meat. It's a Friday of Lent. It's a time to take seriously our need to empty ourselves, to discipline ourselves and go beyond ourselves. But those gestures are worthless if we don't love God and love our neighbor. It's not one of the two greatest commandments to abstain from meat. That's just to help us fulfill love of God and love of neighbor. So don't take it lightly, but don't take it as an absolute either. Whereas these two commandments are absolute and unchanging. Love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that love does not deplete us. It's not as if we say, oh, I gave all my love to God, I don't have any left to give to my neighbor. Because that's not how love works, right? The more we love, the more love we have. So if we love God this way, with this totality, we have more love for our neighbor. Today's saint is a great example. Saint John of God, actually all the saints are great examples. Happen to have a man saint today on Women's Day. Yesterday we had two women saints, okay? So there's lots of women saints, lots of men saints. Yesterday they were both young mothers, remember, Perpetua and Felicity. One was had a newborn child, and that was Perpetua, and Felicity was pregnant when she was arrested, and she gave birth to the child while she was in custody. Anyway, today we have a man saint, John of God, who dedicated himself to care of the sick. How did he get that energy to take care of hundreds of sick people? He was overwhelmed with the needs. And what happened was, he saw them through the eyes of God. He recognized that God loves these people, and God sent him, John, to be part of caring for them. He didn't think he was God, and he didn't think he had no responsibility for his neighbor. He recognized this is God's will for him. So his love of God, which was total, he dedicated himself to God, was expressed in a total love for his neighbor. And we see this, I say, in all the saints, in different ways. In fact, in unique ways. And this is how we're called. So as we take another step in the journey of Lent, a season of penance, a season of sacrifice, we are being reminded, yes, when we're being called to turn from sin, to come back to the Lord, to recognize that we have collapsed through our guilt, but to also recognize that the most important thing is not to focus on our guilt. The most important thing is not to punish ourselves for being bad people. The most important thing is to love God and love our neighbor.